So I want to continue something, and I won't take a whole lot of time, because it's best that we get into it rather than just speak about it. But I wanted to speak about rest in a hectic world, or peace in a chaotic world, wherever. I'm not very good at titles. Like, I've never put titles on sermons. So the guys at the end say, what do you want to call it? I'm like, whatever you want, I don't know, whatever you got out of it. But this series that Rob started a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I don't need to go in and spend time. All you have to do is just go onto the back of your phone where you have that news feed, and you will see how chaotic the world is. We don't have, whether it's some fella in North Korea launching missiles, or a moderate politician in Iran that's actually getting elected in, who wants to open Iran up, and that's causing murder in the Middle East, right down to America in chaos, or whatever, you know, right down to your life or my life. The people that we live in, with, the people that we do life with, the chaos in this world. From, I'm not looking for pity, but I'll take if you want. I was really sick this week. I was sicker than that. but you still have to do things, don't you? And, like, people don't always understand that. Like, but anyway, I got a call during the weekend to go and just play a tiny, tiny part in a situation of a young girl, 36 years of age, hung herself, left two kids behind. And I'm going into that house and seeing the chaos. It's incredible what people are living with. And I don't know how they survive outside of Jesus. And in fact, that's all we really do outside of him, is survive and look for other things to fill it. But it doesn't take me. You just think of your life or people around you or situations that you face where you're like, there's no rest, or does it chaos. And Jesus then, he makes these incredible statements in the midst of all of this stuff. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And the word, the rest of God, means this tranquility in a chaotic situation. That Jesus was saying that we carry, listen to what all the worship was about, lean on your own understanding. Give it all to you, God. You know, you're my vision. Oh, you know, you're my shield. Like, all the things that God was lining up for us to hear something of what he offers us. And he says this. He says, look, I know you're going to carry burdens. I know you're going to be heavy laden. I know you're going to be weary in this chaotic world. But when you come to me, I will give you rest. And you can, the first rest that he gives us is when we come to know him, that we have rest, we have peace. In that rest, we have peace with God. I don't know about you, but whether you know this or not, that outside of Jesus, that like we're like an enemy of God. Where God's hand reached out in Jesus, he wants us to be a friend of God. And he says in the scriptures that he breaks down the walls of hostility and the separating walls, and he breaks them down, and he himself becomes our rest. He himself becomes our peace. That when we come to know God, that we're no longer, there's no longer controversy between you or me and God. But now that all that controversy, all that hostility is broken down, and we are now one with God, with Jesus in God. And he invites us into that place of rest. Meaning this, that like way back in Genesis, on the seventh day, it says, when God completed all of the work, when he created all that he wanted to create, he rested. Meaning there was nothing left to be done. It was all done. And the picture is the same of Jesus on the cross. That like that when we come to him, that when he said it's finished, it's completed, that all who come to him now enter into that rest. That it's all being completed. We don't have to strive. We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to, you know, keep on wanting to please him, to gain from him. That all that has been done in Jesus, and that those who come believers, who put their faith, adhere to him, trust in him, that what he done is sufficient. When he said it's done, it's done. Then we have this oneness, this peace, this rest that we are supposed to enter into with God. And listen back in Exodus, he nearly says something the same. This is Moses, and he says, if you are pleased with me, Lord, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this is your nation. This is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Do you know where he was sending Moses and these people? He was sending them into a land that was full of giants. You remember Caleb and Joshua came back with the others, and they gave the report. The land was, the terrain was mountainous. The people were tall. The cities were fortified. He was sending them into this chaotic place. And he says, look, you go, and I will be with you, and I will give you rest. That you will walk in this chaotic world with a tranquility about you that that will cause them, Moses says, well, that's the only way they're going to know we're different from everyone else. Isn't that incredible? A man was given a commission for paintings to be painted about peace. And he had three artists around this topic. And they were commissioned, and then they were to produce a piece each. And he goes into his gallery, and there was three paintings that were veiled, and one at a time they were going to open up this, and he was going to pick one that represented what peace was, what rest was. And the first one was beautiful. It was like a mountainous scene. Like a scene of green and trees and a blue sky with just enough clouds in it for it to be a cool day rather than a scorching day in the sun. And he's looking there, and he's seen the meadows in all the intricate details of this. And he goes, wow, that is beautiful. So he goes the next one, and this was a scene of a sea. And again, the sky was beautiful, and the water was calm. And then you could see in the painting that just up on the beach there was two deck chairs and two people just sitting back, just enjoying the scenery and enjoying the day. And he goes, and that was his favorite, because he actually loved the scene, he loved the beach, and he goes, that really represents peace to me. And he goes to the third one, but this one was like a waterfall. And the waterfall was raging, like hundreds and thousands of liters of water coming over the mountain, like roaring and all this stuff. And the man said, look, I've been to a waterfall. There's nothing peaceful about the waterfall. It is roaring and it's loud and it's violent in its character. And the painter says, yes, you're right. But he says, if you notice, I've painted this picture from the side. He says, and I want you to take a deeper look behind the water that is raging. And he goes in, he looks closer. And in the cleft of a rock, is a little bird resting in its nest. And the man says, the painter says, now that's peace. Because in the real world, we can't all escape to a mountainous area. When storms hit us, we can't all run away to a beach and kick up. And if we do, we'll be there with the noise in our minds anyway. And the man says the real depiction of peace is that in the midst of the roar, in the midst of the violence, in the midst of the characteristics of the storm, that little bird is able to find its resting place in the cleft of a rock. And this is what Jesus offers us. And to be real, for me, I have to go, well, Lord, I don't always have that rest. I don't walk around in the state of tranquility, unless I dropped a couple of wherever relaxers or something like that, and everything is cool. But you can't live in that state. But yet there's some place that Jesus offers us, that in the midst of the roar of the waterfall, that we like little birds can find a place where we're not fearful or we're not tormented. And he offers this. And in Hebrews 4:11, listen to what he says in Hebrews 4:11. He says like this, you can read it later. He says like, strive to enter into this rest, which is nearly a contradiction. Strive to enter rest. Another translation says, do your best to enter rest. And what he was saying was that when them things pull you out of this place, do your best to bring yourself back into alignment with this place in God. When the thought patterns brings us outside and we're feeling the weight of the waterfall, he's saying do your best to pull yourself back in where you're in alignment with God himself. Hebrews also tells us what kept the people of God in the desert out of the rest of God in the desert was three different things. One was unbelief. Unbelief will always bring us out of a place of rest. And you know what I believe unbelief? Well, this is my thoughts around unbelief. Unbelief is not believing that God can do something or not. Unbelief is whether I believe God will do it for me. The people of Israel never denied that God was there and that God brought them out of Egypt. Do you remember that's what Moses always reminded them of? But the thoughts were, will he do it for me? And unbelief always brings us outside of rest. And the writer of Hebrews says, strive. Work at it. Do your best to bring yourself back in to the place of belief. Because unbelief leads to a hardness of heart. That's what it says about the people of God. A hardness towards God. A hardness that stops us from receiving that love, Tom, that you felt. A hardness of heart out of unbelief robs us of that. And it brings us into unrest and to wrong striving. And it always leads to disobedience. It always, unbelief, a hardened heart, disobeying what God has said to you and to me. But Jesus says, I offer this rest. And if you come to me, his promise is that you will have this rest. Do everything to come to him. Strive to come to him. Work at it to be with him, because it's out of him that we actually understand and know the peace that the Bible says surpasses all understanding. That when we come to him, trust in him, here's what that really means, I think, the peace that passes all understanding. That to gain this peace that surpasses all understanding, we have to give up the right to understand everything. Because to hold on to understanding everything, well, then it brings us into, well, Lord, why did this happen? Why did you allow it to happen to me? And we enter into disbelief that God is blessing Rob, but he's not blessing Noah. That God wants to do it for Naomi, but he doesn't want to do it for Billy. That God wants to use Billy like that, but he doesn't want to use Terry like that. And it brings us into that place. Well, I can't get my head around this. I'm trying to understand it. Sometimes you have to give up that right to understand these things, to gain the things that we cannot, with all of our understanding, gain, which is this rest. Do you ever sometimes want to tell yourself, no, will you ever shut up? That, the fanatic in the attic. Do you ever want to just go, shut up? And then other people that wants to talk to you around the same waterfall, you want to share with them, will you shut up as well? Because when you ask me that, I go back into the unrest. The peace that surpasses all understanding is given to us when we say, Lord, I will lean not on my own understanding. Proverbs 3. I will not, Lord. My mind, everything that's in me, my intellect, my experience wants to understand it. Because the things that I don't like to hear, there's a bigger picture. You don't want to hear that when you're in your own understanding, don't you know? But when you're in the rest of Jesus, you understand there's a bigger picture. Psalm 78. My foot nearly slipped, the psalmist says, until I went in to the tent of the Lord. He was not in rest. He was looking, why is the wicked being blessed? How come they seem to be getting on? How come they seem to be prospering? And he started to look at that with his own understanding. He says, oh, my foot nearly slipped. I nearly went into that place. That God, you want to bless them. And you're not blessing me. He says, until he went in to the tent of the Lord. And then he understood things. He understood not only about this life, but about eternity. He had his view back on the place of the person who gives him rest. And not only do we then have peace, the peace of God, or the peace with God, but we carry the peace of God. That when we walk into a chaotic situation, that somehow a new characteristic, a new power, a new dynamic has entered in. Do you ever go in and everyone's flapping around and you walk in, you say one word and everyone stops flapping? Or you don't even say anything. People go, thank God you're here, Rob. Thank God you're here, Naomi. But I didn't do it. Because when you're in rest, that's what he was saying to Moses. Moses, I will give you rest and you will have victory in Jericho and Ai. And you will take the mountains, and you will the mountainous area, and you will take the land. When you move out of the rest of that, I've already done it. I've already given you this land. Now you walk in that assurance and that rest. And who knows that that's a battle? That's what he says, work at it. Strive at it to enter that place all the time so that you can walk into a place, you can walk into a situation, you can walk into chaos, out of a place of rest, out of being with him, out of being seated in Jesus. Seated in Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians, in heavenly places is a place of rest that Jesus has the victory. I love that he doesn't say they'll be stood up ready for battle in heavenly places. Just be seated in Jesus. There's no flapping around in him. There's no, oh, Lord, I have to fight. Just relax, son. Just relax, daughter. Come out of me. Let your prayers come out of me. And I tell you what, I stepped down from leadership in everything outside of liberty and my relationship with Jesus 2 years ago. All of the things I was involved in, I didn't realize how much you're involved in until you sit down. You sit in the place of rest and you're like, how in the world did I do that? How did I go there? How? You just, now the grace of God is on you to do it, but when you're sitting down and you look at it in your own human sense, you're like, that was crazy. And there's a battle for the purpose of God for your life. You have an enemy that doesn't want you to fulfill this. But I've learned, if you think the enemy will fight you for the work of God, when you see the battle he puts up for the rest of God, oh, I didn't notice. Or I'm doing the work of God and the enemy comes against you. Da, 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 da. When you see what he threw, when you see the battle he puts up for you to rest in God. Because out of rest, you have a greater place of victory. Out of rest, you can hear God. Out of rest, you can see things that you didn't see before. Out of rest, you can see the trees and the forest. You can see it. And if you think, I said to Sharon, the enemy didn't know where I lived. He didn't know whether I was going to be in Bray, Finglas, Clondalkin, Galway, Cork. He didn't know where I was going to be. And I said, Sharon, I think he found out my address. Because for 2 years, he's been pummeling me week in, week out, month off and a month on. It was like shared workload. And I was like, how important is this? And I read this stuff and Paul says, keep on striving. And then, that means when everyone's looking for an answer and you haven't got it, you just haven't got it. And it's okay because I'm resting in God. When everyone wants you to be the hero and rescue the day and you haven't got it, that's all right because you're not God. You're not Jesus. But when he says out of rest, now and I'll do, now and I'll go, now and I'll say, you will see power and dynamic that you never had before. And Jesus says, come on and rest. Come on and walk at resting. It's incredible, isn't it? It's like, even saying it, you're like, that's strange. My mind is going, that's not even a sentence. And the only things, disobedience, hardening of heart, or unbelief, will take you out. And today I believe, through whatever songs, Rob, would you just play that song again? We'll just lean on my understanding. And we'll use it as our prayer. We'll use it as our dedication to God. Because I know what you face. I know God's put this in my heart. He knows what you face. He knows what's trying to rob you. He knows where there's striving. He knows where there's chaos. He knows where there's a lack of tranquility. There's a lack of peace. And some of it is because we're trying to work it out. And surrendering and giving it to God is like, I, Jimmy Flanagan in our church a couple of weeks ago. He's a man with 6 kids, God bless him. They're all little blondie kids, and it looks like, I don't know what it is about blonde kids, but it looks like they multiply when you look at them. You're like, is there 6 there or 24? And he was trying to work out, he shared this, he leads some of the meetings, leading today, I think. And he's trying to work out his tithes and offerings. And he's working out all his bills, and he's like, me tithe, Lord. And he, one day he just said, this is what he said, Lord, I give up trying. I give up trying to make a walk. Now, he wouldn't have used this language, but I've seen him and his family come into a rest in God because he gave up. It's like, wow. Walk hard at giving up. That's what the writer is saying. Walk hard at surrendering. Because you're going to work hard at something. So you might as well work hard at what's going to bring you in. Lord, I give you that. When it comes up tomorrow, I give it to you. When someone brings it up in conversation, I give it to you. The Bible says, I think it's Psalm 149 or something. Or Psalm 139. Psalm 119, verse 145. Can you believe it? Somewhere around there. David says, 7 times a day I turn to thee. So, and I read that and I go, Noah, you can never use an excuse that you haven't got the time, son. This fella rang it. He was a king. He was running a kingdom. 7 times a day. I don't know how long that took. But imagine when we're doing their finances. The treasury department coming to David. The military department coming to David. All these advisors, all these counselors. David, what about this? And how are we going to get that done? And David, you know that Goliath's brothers are on the way. And da-da-da-da-da-da. Hang on. Whether he goes to the tent, which was called the tent of David, he says, Lord, I give it all to you. And he come back out of that place, back into the advisors, out of rest. And he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to wait on the Lord. But we want. We're going to wait on the Lord. Can we stand? You know what you need to hand over.